Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. I pray that each and every one of you had a wonderful week, and I'm glad you found time in your busy schedule to come as we explore the Word of God together. Our lesson tonight is going to come from the book of Esther, and we're going to be in the 7th chapter, and I pray that each and every one of you have read the text that you were asked to read so you could be right where you need to be as we expound on the Word of God. God is so good. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's merciful. And God loves his children. Well, before we get started, I'm going to play a song. The title of the song is God is Able. Because you see, once we really learn what God has in store for us, how God is our protector, our deliverer, our savior, our shepherd, God is the potter, and we have to become the clay. God is everlasting through everlasting. And he loves us. There's nothing that you can do that can make God love you more than he already loves you. And there's nothing that you can do that will cause God not to love you. God says in Philippians 2:13 that it is him that working in us to will it and do his good pleasures. God never put it on us because he knows us. He know we have a sin nature. He know we are covered in flesh, and that's where sin dwells, in the flesh. That's why when Jesus come back for us, his church, his bride, the flesh on our bodies will be removed because it is corruptible. And we will be placed with a garment of incorruptibility. To live with Christ forever. So I'm going to play this song, God is Able. We're going to come back and go to the throne of grace. And after that, we're going to explore the Word of God together.
God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. Tell me who can make a mountain move out of my way? Who can make a miracle of my faith. And when the doctor says no, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is able. God is able. God is able. Never forsake. No, he won't fail. He'll be there till the end. God won't fail. He won't fail.
And I want you to know that part of your success is when you truly believe that God won't fail. God can do anything but fail. God is able to do anything more than you could ever even imagine. We have to trust him. We study the word every Wednesday night to learn what thus says the Lord. And we should be striving to achieve them. Even though we know we won't be perfect, but we can sin a little less each day. We can grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because that's where our success is. We have to remember God did not write the Bible. Well, he didn't have the men that he inspired to write the Bibles for him. He the one gave out the revelation. But he gave us his holy Bible, our roadmap to life with success. So it's our duty and our responsibility. If we say that he is our Lord, our Savior, and our Master, it's our responsibility to know what he has for us to do and trust his will in every aspect of our lives. because the record said God is able. What a mighty God we serve. Our lesson tonight, as I said, because so many callers has called in now, the title of our lesson is, If You Dig One Ditch, You Better Dig Two. Because the trap you set just may be for you. We're going to experience this and see this in our lesson tonight. We're coming from the book of Esther, the 7th chapter. At this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace. And if anyone would like to pray tonight, please press the 1 button on your phone. And I will open the mic, and you could lead us to the throne of grace. God is giving this invitation at this time for anyone who would like to pray. Just press the 1 button on your phone. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, the beginning of all beginnings and the end of all ends. Lord, we come to you tonight with bowed down heads, dear God, and humble hearts, dear God, because we realize that we can't do anything without you. Lord, we just come into you because you are our Heavenly Father. And we are your children. Lord, and in your word you say, with everything through prayer and supplication, make your requests be known. Lord, we want to know what you have for us to do and what you say you would do for us, and we have to study your word. Lord, we come into you because there's no other help that we know, and there's no other way we can go or should go but to seek your face. Lord, you told us to come to you and communicate through prayer, dear God, and that's what we're doing. Holy Spirit, I ask that you don't let the word return void, that you open the eyes and the hearts and the minds of the people, dear God, that they could take the word that you are giving me, your vessel. I decrease as you increase. Have your way, Holy Ghost, with this lesson on the night. Touch your people, dear God, who has come to hear a word from you. Lord, I realize that I'm only giving information, but it's the Holy Ghost that give illumination and revelation. And God, I know you never fail. And I know you're able. So as we come to you, dear God, I just want to say thank you because we know you're here, dear God, because you say you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Have your way, dear God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and thank God. And again, our lesson title is, If You Dig One Ditch, You Better Dig Two. Because the trap you set just may be for you. That's a quote that was made many years ago by Mahalia Jackson. And when I thought about digging a ditch and everything, and I researched it, Mahalia Jackson made that quote, and it's been used ever since. But I want you to know that the book of Esther that we're studying in tonight, the author or whoever wrote the book is unknown. It's not stated in the word of God. Some believe that it could have been Mordecai, which we know is her cousin. You see, the book of Esther may not directly mention God, yet it is clearly revealed. It clearly reveals God at work. You know, his name is not written in the book. For those who read the three chapters that I asked you to read, you may not have paid attention. And where they didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord," and "the Lord," this or somebody praying to the Lord, it's not mentioned in the book of Esther. But his handprints, his fingerprints are all over it. You see, what seems to be coincidence in this book, the amazing reversals and the poetic justice that led to the deliverance of the Jews and Persians all proclaims God's presence. You see, we see God's master plan being worked out, and that if God is for you, who can be against you? Did you read the lesson for tonight? You see, Esther was a Jewish maiden, and she was taken from her familiar surroundings, and she was in the care of her uncle, Mordecai, because her parents were dead. And when they got to Persia, she was placed in a palace to become one of the women who would be used to satisfy the sexual desires of the king. King Ahasuerus enjoyed putting on public displays of his wealth and power. He always had all of these feasts and everything like that going on. You see, eventually during the feast, the king requested that his wife, Queen Vashti, come before the entire gathering of important men and officials to show them her great beauty. And he told her wear her crown. You know, sometime you may hear this scripture being taught. They may say that he asked her to wear her crown only. In other words, that he was asking her to come out with only the crown on her head and be naked. But the Bible doesn't say it. You see, Queen Vashti refused to be on public display. And so the king, who was not used to being denied of anything, became enraged. He dethroned her as queen and banished her from the kingdom. Come on, watch this, y'all. Here we see that God will make room for your intended purpose. See, Vashti was the queen. Esther was placed in the palace to become one of the king's, be a part of the king's harem. So now the queen is gone. So he made a decision to replace the queen with another woman. You see, what happened, they would take 400 women selected to fill the harem from which he would eventually choose his wife to be the queen. You see, the time came. What they would do is they would have them all in there, and they would be bathing them and getting them ready and oil, you know, putting oil on them and perfumes, and they was getting, telling them how to act before the king. They would have a year in training. But you see, the time came after a full year preparation for each of the women. They had to spend a night with the king. You see, eventually Esther time came. And because of her humility and acceptance of her position as a servant, she went into the king's chamber. She was so extraordinarily beautiful, both inside and out, that the king was immediately smitten with her and made the decision to name her the queen, replacement for Queen Vashti. So he placed a crown upon her head. No mention of God. But God was working his plan in the background, and definitely always in control. You see, the story of Esther, if you don't know, like I told you, her parents had died, and she was an orphan, but she came up as an orphan, and while they're in Persia, they're exiled. They're, you know, like in captivity, in a sense, and you know, she came there, and they chose her to be one of the women in the training, and the king chose her. So she came from being an orphan to being a queen. Almost as soon as Esther was confirmed as queen, the king appointed an evil man over the affairs. His name was Haman. And he despised the Israelite people. Now, you know, Esther was an Israelite, a Jew. The king was a Gentile. You see, and Haman was a descendant of that king, that bad king, Haggai, who was the king over the Ammonites. And you see, they hated the Jews. So Haman probably grew up being taught to hate Jews. You know, like prejudice is in the world today, and some of these children grow up with it and they don't even know why they hate. But that's how Haman was. He hated the Jews. You see, Esther's uncle, Mordecai, knew the heart of the wicked man and knew his hatred for the Israelite people. Haman manipulated and maneuvered until he was able to get into a position of authority from which he would be able to destroy him. A plan to destroy the whole nation of Israelites. It would have been a genocide. Mordecai, Esther's uncle, knew this plan. So he enlisted Esther's aid in correcting the situation. Esther took her life in her hands and decided to intercede with the king on behalf of her beloved people. And she decided, when she bought into it, no matter what the consequences would be to herself, and that's where we at tonight. If you read the other chapters, you would have some information, and if you didn't, you could go read them tonight when we get through. But we going to start reading the scripture, and we're in the seventh verse, and we're going to read 1 through 3. And the scripture reads as follows. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed. Even to the half of my kingdom. King is willing to give up half kingdom to Esther. And the third verse said, then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given at my petition, and my people at my request. Y'all, some of the information in the chapters would have gave y'all some, but I want you to know that Esther took her chances and went before the king. You see, you couldn't do that. The king had so many women in his, he had concubines and he had a harem, and there was so many. So you never could go before a king without being summoned. But you see, desperate measures is necessary in desperate situations. You see, Haman was doing what he was doing, and he was getting close, and he was gonna do some hurt and harm and danger to the Israelites, and you know, time was of the essence, and so Esther took a chance and went before the king without being summoned. If you did that and the king didn't want you, you immediately was put to death. But you see, when that king saw her, it pleased him. She set up a banquet. The king saw, and you saw in the scripture, he said, "What you want, Esther? Let me know your petition. Let me know what your request is, and it shall be performed." Didn't we just read that in the verses? He said, "I'm even willing to give you half of my kingdom." So this is what Esther said. "Let's set up a banquet with Hannah, the one that hated Malachi because he wouldn't bow down to him, and the Jews because they were always his enemies." You see, he had even got buy-in from the king, because you see, he told the king, "I will give you silver for your treasury for whoever carries out the business of destroying the Jews." That's what Haman had told the king, and the king was agreeing, you know, but it was in ignorance. Or he hadn't met, you know, Esther at the time. So Esther enlisted Malachi to gather the Israelites together and fast for 3 days. Esther fast could not, no other way, be an object to obtain God's favor and protection in the dangerous course on which she was about to enter. After Esther did buy in, you know, that's fate. She didn't know the outcome. She went anyway. That's called trust. She leaned and depended on God. She fasted and prayed. Nothing else she could do. She waited on God. And she said, "If I perish, I perish." You have to know that God maneuvers every aspect of life to position people where he wants them, to do what he wants with the government. You know, our government system is so screwed up now, but God is in control. He placed people where they need to be. He maneuvers every aspect of our lives, in the government, and every situation for his plan and purpose. You see, we may never know what God is doing, but a time might come when we realize why we have gone through certain experiences. You know, some things in our life, we're going through it to get to where God wants us to be. Sometimes you lose that job and think, oh, everything is at the end, but God could be taking you to a better job. God might be taking you from the job where he could open up your mind and you become an entrepreneur. Come on now. You don't know why in life you met certain people at a certain time, in a certain season, but I tell you tonight, it was for a certain reason. That's God working it out together. He hooking up and he putting together. You might not even realize why you live in a certain area. God might need you to be a light in a dark place. And it could be something simple as why you shop at certain stores. Sometimes God let you take a trip and you just meet somebody maybe on the plane and talk about the plan of salvation, and that person gets saved. You could be riding on the bus and you sit next to someone who's contemplating commit suicide. And you tell them God is good. And you save their lives. You see, that's the way God is operating in this kingdom. You see, we live in the kingdom of God. And he's the ruler. Yes, Satan is the prince of the air. And yes, he do have some power, but it's limited. And he can't do nothing but what God allows him to do. You see, the time may come when everything comes together. And I don't know about you, but I know it's in my life. I know it's real because we can look back and see what we too were put in the moment of time for a situation like whatever, just like Esther. You see, she was put into a harem for such a time as this. That's what the scriptures say. She was given to the king for such a time as this. She was strengthened and prepared to intercede for her people for such a time as this. You see, Esther is truly a reminder of God's promises. And one just to mention is Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for our good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And there's another scripture that says, if God is for you, who can be against you? You see? God gave Esther her beauty. For a time is this. Come on now. And if we look at verse 4-7, you see, now, in some chapters before this, Esther went to the king, and he didn't order her death, but he was glad when he seen her. And he asked her whatever she wanted. And he told her, I could give it to you. I want to give it to you. And then she said, let's have a banquet. And bring Haman in. And, you know, we'll go from there. So now they have the banquet. And Esther has the same. For we are sold, on verse 4, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondsmen and bondswomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damages. You see, the man told the king, I'm going to give you silver. And I'm a put money in your treasure. Esther was saying, you know, the money, trying to tell the king, the money that they would give you wouldn't suffice for all of the goodness that these people is doing for you. These are your workers. These are your servants. You know, you'll take a little bit of money and you're going to be, you know, missing. That's like if they take all of the Mexicans out of the United States now, plenty of people going to be in trouble because the workers is going to be gone. They take this or they do that. So she was explaining to the king, yeah, we came here and, you know, we were brought here, you know. But if you allow this man to kill all of the Jews, look where you're going to be, king. She's putting something on his mind. Esther was a smart woman. And then you see verse 5 say, then the king, Hazra answered and said unto Esther the queen. He said, who is he? He asked him, well, who wanted to to get rid of all of y'all. The king say, who is he? That's in verse 5. And where is he that thus pursues in his heart to do so? You know, the king forgot that he had bought in. But like I said earlier, it was, you know, with ignorance. So, and 6 said, and Esther said, the adverse, the adversary, the enemy. You know, that's how the Bible describes Satan, the adversary and the enemy. But Esther said, the adversary and enemy is the wicked man Haman. She's telling the king now. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went to the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make a request for his life to Queen Esther. You see, Haman was the big man. He was high in the ranks with the king. And he had maneuvered to get the king to buy in to his plan to get rid of the Jews. And he had built a galley where he was going to hang Mordecai. And look how the story's turned. Look how the story turned. Now, the scriptures say, and Hanan was scared and afraid before the king and the queen. And the king arise from the banquet of wine in his wrath, that's verse 7, and went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make a request for his life to the queen. Now, he begging the queen, he want mercy. And he didn't want to give no mercy. He's asking for mercy. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. You see, now Esther tells the king of the plot that Haman had to kill the Jews. And you see, you need to know this. Esther had never said that she was a Jew. She never let anyone know she was a Jew. When her uncle trained her, he told her cousin to not let them know that she was a Jew. So now, Esther's all right. She know the king love her. You see, Esther now tell the king the plot that the man had to kill the Jews, and she revealed her nationality at this time. She was a Jew. And she let the king know that the silver that Hanan was willing to give him wasn't hitting on nothing. You see, because Esther received great favor from the king, and he had previously asked her the desires of her heart, what is your petition? Even be willing to give you half of the kingdom. The king wanted to know who was plotting to do such a thing. And Esther let him know. The king was displeased to say the least and took a walk in the garden. And Hanan stayed with Esther and begged for his life. You see, just like the lesson say, when you dig one ditch, you've got to dig two. Because the one you dig may be for you. You see, you got to stop wishing evil on people. You know, I'm talking about people, children. Doing anything that you wouldn't want to happen to you. You know, they say the golden rule is do unto others as you have them do unto you. And I don't know about you, but God in his word always speaks about how we treat and love one another. If you can't get that right, you can't achieve the fullness of what God has in store for you. You see, we in this world, but we not of this world. We in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, that it should operate by the word of God. And if we're the children of God, living in the kingdom of God, if we are citizens of this kingdom, there should be certain ways that we treat one another. You know, when the disciples was asking Jesus about the Ten Commandments, and they asked him which was the greatest of the ten, it always amazed me that he took the ten and condensed it to two. You know, Jesus always said, I didn't come to condemn the law, but to fulfill it. So in the Ten Commandments, I know you guys heard me say this all, you know, several times. You may have remembered it, you may not. So if you did remember this, it's just a review. And if you didn't remember, you'll remember it now. But he said in the first four commandments, it was all commandments to God. You know, don't use the Lord's name in vain. Love the Lord, you know, love the Lord. Don't worship idols and things like that, the first. And it was amazing to me when I checked that out that the next six commandments is how we should live, and love one another. Don't covet thy neighbor's good. Don't murder. Don't steal from your neighbor. You know, don't kill. You know, if we could get that them six straight, and he gave us six commands towards each other and four commands towards him. What a mighty God we serve. You know, I don't know if you ever sat down and thought about that you live, you know, once you accept Christ as your Savior. You know, we in this world, we say we're not of this world, and you have to wonder what world are we all of, and it's the kingdom of God. And have you ever asked what you should be doing in the kingdom? Is it important to you? Do you even know you're in, you know, in the kingdom of God here on earth? If we learn how to live with one another, no Christian would be in need. And yes, God tells us to love everybody. He said, but especially those in the household of faith. You know, Jesus died for the whole world. And he loved everybody. But he loved his more dearly because they answered the call. They accepted him as their Savior. But we have to learn how to love one another. So the king go in the garden because he just outdone. And then if we look at Scripture 8 through 10, which is the last two verses in the lesson tonight, then the king returned out of the garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, his people, they say, they covered his face. And Harabash, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the galley. There's a galley, and it's 50 cubic feet high. And he told him, he said, yeah, I'm in the script, y'all, which Haman had made for for Mordecai, who spoke good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king says, hang him. Now he had built that galley to hang Mordecai. So they hanged him on the galleys which he had prepared for Mordecai. And then, watch this, then was the king's wrath pacified. King got all right then. You see, when the king returned from the garden, Haman was so overwhelmed with grief, he fell on the bed where Esther was, and the king thought that he was trying to force himself on her. And before the king could stop talking, they covered his head. The suggestion was made that Haman had built the galley to hang Mordecai, and the king ordered him to be hanged. Don't you know many things that the devil is setting up? All kind of plans for your life. But God is interceding, and you might not even recognize the hand of God. So how could you thank him for it? But you got to believe there's some, because you ain't that special. You see, because what the devil set up for our bad, God has a way of turning it around for our good. And just like in reference to our lesson tonight, if you dig one ditch, you better dig two, because the trap you set may be for you. That was a quote by Mahalia Jackson. But I went to the book of Proverbs in the 26th chapter in the 27th verse. And it says, whosoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. You know, when you look at a lesson and you know the word of God, and when you could take and put a precept upon precept, it makes you be able to just tap dance with the word of God and connect them all together. Because you see, in a sense, what this is saying, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And you got to watch what you have in your heart towards people. Because if you could formulate it and have it just in your heart against people, then it easily could come back to you. If you have no forgiveness in your heart, it's a possibility you won't be forgiven by others. If you have a heart that can't forgive, why would you ever expect someone to forgive you? You see, Esther was destined for a time such as this. God chose Esther to do through her what he had planned before the foundation of the world. Even before she was born. See, this lets me know when I read Jeremiah 29 and 11 how real it is. You see, because everything in the Bible that God had these 40 men, he inspired to write down for us. He's given us examples on how to live, and he's telling us what he's going to do for us, and he tell us sometime how he's going to do it and why he's going to do it. It's for us. You see, in Jeremiah 29 and 11, say, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You got to remember, Esther was created for a time like this. And through her obedience, God will get the glory. No, God's name is not mentioned in this book. But I could see his hands all over it. all in the middle of it, working it out for their good. You see, God has a plan for your life as well. God penned, had Esther's story penned, so that we could learn how he works sovereignly in the lives of ordinary people who submit to his ways. You know, no big eyes and no little you, not the rich and not the poor, not the black and not the white, not the white and not the black, not the educated and not the uneducated. God has no respect of person. And God said in Psalms 139 that he formed you in your mother's womb. God has a plan for all of our lives. You know, it is said that if everything would have been written in the Bible, the world could not contain it. You see, so tonight we are studying the life of Esther. But I want to tell you that you need to know that you also have a story. And it can help somebody. And it has meaning. And it has God's footprints and handprints all over it. Because if you look back over your life and meditate on the goodness of God, you will see where he's brought you from. You take a little more time, you might see where he's bringing you to. In all of this, you got to watch how you treat God's people. And I'm going to use a scripture out of Esther, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse. And this was Malachi when he was trying to get Esther to join in, because Esther wasn't feeling this. She knew she could die if she went before the king. You know, she didn't know if the plan would work. So her cousin Mordecai was trying to convince her. So in Esther, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse says, "For if thou altogether holded thy peace at this time," he's saying, okay, so, you know, if you don't want to do nothing, you hold your peace at this time. He said, "Then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." He says, if you don't do it, God's still going to get it done. And that's what God is telling us. If we don't do what God has us for us to do, God can still get it done. We speak in our lessons on Wednesday night about being in position. We have to get in position to receive what God has for us in a time like this. You see, and then he went on in the scripture, he said, "Now, if you hold your peace, Esther, it's going to be all right, and God's going to deliver the Jews another way, because they're going to be delivered, because the word of God says." He said, "But thou and thy father's house going to be destroyed." You know how they talk about when you miss your blessings? Or when you don't move when you should move? And then he goes on to say, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time like this?" I'm going to read that one again straight through. And that's going to close the lesson for tonight, because to me that's so important. Because he was telling her, he said, "If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Come on now, y'all. "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. and who knoweth whether or not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. He's telling you don't know what you came in the kingdom for, but just let God use you. He's talking about that kingdom I was talking about earlier, the kingdom of God. And you see, Mordecai dug the ditch, and he was guilty, and he got hung. You see, God, Jesus Christ, didn't wish no ill on no one else, and he wasn't guilty because he knew no sin, and they crucified him. See, Mordecai deserved it. Jesus didn't. But Jesus did it for us because he loved us. And he wants the best for us. And he wants us to have the best in the kingdom. And he wants us to live with one another in peace. And he wants to use us for service. And he want to use us to shed a word of God. There's going to be some people that's not going to hear the word unless you tell it to them. And there are going to be people who maybe not accept any help unless it comes from you. But we have to be about our Father's business. And be careful, because if you dig one ditch, you better dig two, because the trap you set may just be for you. And that's real. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone have any comments or concerns or any reports or any prayer requests or anything you want to say, give words of encouragement, you want to say something about the lesson, you want to tell us something about the lesson that maybe I didn't cover, because like I tell you, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I do what I can do. And I try my very best for God. So if no one has anything to say and no one would like, would anyone like to pray? Anybody want to give a shout out? Caller, your number is, oh, they hung up. Anyone would like to say anything tonight before I close out? Caller, your number is 504-858. For some reason, you keep going off, but you're coming back on. That was a call of you guys, but it keep jumping off. So if nothing else is needed to be said tonight, next week is Thanksgiving, and Wednesday is Thanksgiving Eve, and I know a lot of people be busy traveling. Caller, I'm going to try to get you now. Caller, your number is 504-858. Your mic is open.
Good afternoon, everyone. Sister Diane, this was a very wonderful lesson. Can you hear me?
Yes, hello? I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you, darling.
Okay, because I've been pressing one, and my phone keeps acting up. But I wanted to go to chapter 4, verse 15, where Esther was fasting. And it was not only her that fast, but also of all the Jews and her maid. And as you said, she said, perish, I perish. How she just stood and believed that the Lord was going to answer that prayer.
Right.
And then also,
but if he didn't.
And then also on chapter 5, verse 12 through 14, where Haman just misused his authority, and then he went and he was talking to his wife, and they, his wife and his friends was pumping him up to go into to build this gala. And then he was bragging on the fact that the queen only invited him and the king. So, you know, he was expecting this good news and how the tables turned on him, trying, you know, just misusing his authority. And that goes back to the everyday life, how some supervisors just misuse their authorities and talking down on the employees. And you know, as things go on, and with some of them, when they are called into the office, they are terminated, and their employees who just stood on the word has been promoted. So that goes to show me is that we cannot misuse our authorities and look down on people. Because the table, as you say, you got to be mindful of that ditch that you dig, because you can fall into it.
That's right.
Yes.
And my sister, I thank you so much, because, you know, when I decide to do a lesson, I try to get background, but it's so much information, and I only have so much time, but you did read and study. When I come with a lesson, I pray that your curiosity or your ability to want to know more make you search a little more. See, you're supposed to be building upon what is being said tonight and studying before coming on, and that's what makes you solid. That's what helps you to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I surely thank you. You know, they had the part in the story, you know, when what you said was so true. When Esther invited him to the banquet, he thought he was fixing to be honored.
Yes,
you know, he thought he was coming there to be honored, and he was coming there to walk into his death.
Mm-hmm. And where were all the people then? His wife and all the friends.
They was probably still at home, because he was at the palace. So they had to hear it on the 10 o'clock news. Yeah, they told him, build it up, build it high.
Oh, yeah.
And hang him. Yeah. And he got it. And the other thing I didn't touch on, and thank you, my sister, when the king had Haman killed, hung, he gave everything he owned to Esther and the Jews.
Yes.
And told them do whatever they want with it.
So it was no more 50%.
How you like
he
that?
He gave it all. Yes.
He gave them. He gave it all to them. See, that's mm-hmm. when God have you to do something and you obedient, you're gonna receive the fullness.
Yeah.
He told them do whatever you want with it. What a mighty God we serve. So we look at lessons like this, and if God did it for Esther, that's how he's working. You know, we probably won't have the same situation that Esther had, but situations are situations. It's like the same soup warmed over, and there's nothing new under the sun. So when we come into trials, tribulation, adversities, and things like in our lives, we could look back and see how God delivered Esther. You know, so, well, why did Esther fast and pray? So let me fast. You know, you use what you can from what God has given you to get to where he wants you and where you have your greatest success. That's the intent of the word of God.
You got to believe.
Yes, you do. But my sister, I enjoyed you tonight. And as I always say, this is our Bible study. And this is how we could be, you know, everybody putting input and, you know, everybody talking, you know, and when you talk, the Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when I talk, I hear myself. So I'm edifying myself. When you talk just now, you heard yourself, and you build yourself up. You're not going to forget none of this now.
Mm-mm.
And that's why God asks to study and to share the word of God. It's to help build us up. Shut mouth. You're learning everything and you're not sharing it. But that's another lesson. It's not for tonight, but God loves us and he appreciates everybody coming week after week from your busy schedule. He honors that and he loves that about you. So we're going to keep calling and we're going to keep trusting the Lord. And my sister, thank you so much. And we're going to end the program tonight with a benediction. And I always use the words of Peter. Peter's last words that he written in the Bible, which is in 2 Peter 3:18. Peter's almost like he's begging, because after he wrote these scriptures, he went on and they hung him. They didn't know. They didn't hang him. They crucified him. And at that time, Peter had learned to love and reverence God so much, he asked him to crucify him upside down, because he didn't feel worthy to be hanging on the cross as Jesus did. And with that being said, the words of Peter in 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's telling us, y'all, no matter, he was like, it's almost like he's saying, you know, this is my last will and testament, and I'm trying to tell you something. Study and grow in God. Because when you grow in God, it makes you better than you. It makes you better.
Yes.
It makes you better. It makes you less fearful. It makes you more confident. It makes you have self-esteem, because you know you got your big daddy, Father God, and, you know, protecting you. It does all of that. But how fast and how far you go depends on you. And thank you, my sister, and that's our lesson for tonight. Oh, what I was saying was next week is Thanksgiving. I never stop if it's Christmas Eve, Thanksgiving Eve, and stuff like that. But I always ask my listeners, because people may be cooking and this and that. So I'm not going to open up none of the lines. I just want anybody who want to still have lesson on Wednesday just to press the one button. And after y'all press the one button, I'm going to close it out for tonight, and I won't open the buttons that you press. Okay, Carl, I see you press. That's Flash. And if you want lessons for Wednesday, press the button, guys. Okay. So we'll be back on Wednesday on Thanksgiving Eve, and I ask that everybody continue to pray for our the majority rule. We will meet on Wednesday night. Y'all, I want to let y'all know I love y'all. And I pray for you guys. And I thank God for you guys. And I'm just grateful to be a part of our Wednesday night Bible study. So we did the benediction, and we're going to sign off for tonight. God loves you, and so do I. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll be back on Wednesday night. Good night, and be blessed.